Welcome to Dice in Mind, a podcast hosted by Brad Brown and Jason Kaufman to explore the intersection of life, games, science, music, philosophy, and creativity through interviews with leading creatives. All are welcome in this space.
I continue to be fascinated by the fact that there is really quality and interesting material that is coming out of Europe when it comes to RPGs. And I don't necessarily think people realize that RPGs aren't just a US thing anymore.
They're hitting certainly across Europe and not just in English.
No, yeah. And obviously, you know, Modiphius is a big part of that. And Free League Publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And Free League has come out with the, you know, the Lord of the Rings, the One Ring, or the Lord of the Rings based off of 5e. And they've come out with some really, really nice material and games, Twilight and some of the others. Now, you and I've talked about this. I'm always fascinated, and it goes back to your introduction to me of the Microscope RPG.
Yes.
And the idea of this small book sized that has everything you need to play a game.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you and I, you know, we play, we've done some sci-fi, we've done some sci-fantasy. Now we're in Trek, which is the history of the future.
Yes.
I've always been fascinated by the grittiness of space, you know, the less optimal. And that's why Death in Space came to my attention.
Yeah, I was aware of it. I mean, obviously, I'd seen it come up from Free League, and it clearly it's been making the rounds. It's gone from something very niche and local to global. But this whole gritty in space, like when I think gritty in space, I think, okay, so we're going to actually abide by some basic physics. We're going to take the next step past Trek. But that is not what you were talking about. And that's not what allured you to Death in Space.
Yeah, it's the grittiness of the storyline, the bleakness of it. And because let's be honest, I mean, a lot of times when we play, we are playing against monsters or villains or whatever the case is. The environment isn't always the villain, where in
right.
many cases, like Death in Space and there's a couple others, the environment is
constantly trying to kill you.
Yeah, it's an antagonist.
Yeah.
So that's what drew my attention. Plus, you and I have talked about this forever. The presentation of the material is always something that is important to us.
Yes.
You know, the publishing material and all that. And what drew my attention, I actually saw Death in Space on the Modiphius website.
They're handling some distribution, right?
Yes.
In the States?
Yes. And I think through their European, their UK store, and their US store.
Nice.
That's what drew my attention to it. And I think then you and I talked about it and said, mm-hmm. we should really get someone on mm-hmm. from that game. Now, you reached out to
Free League, and they responded and have just been so lovely about that. And so, I mean, stay tuned, everyone, because we definitely want to have more guests from Free League. We definitely want to have more of their creators. They have so many interesting and unique games. The first one is Death in Space. And so we were really lucky. We are really lucky that Carl Nablais, a co-creator of the game, came on the show to chat with us about what is easily one of the most unique games for us. Because like you said, Brad, it's not following a common trope. And it's not one of the really big games that even if you've never played, you've probably heard of it. Mm-hmm. Although I think maybe that's changing.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think people are really starting to see just obviously based off of 2020 and this resurgence of analog gaming. tabletop gaming. People are looking for, I mean, they're looking for different games to play. Not that the games that they've been playing are bad. They're just looking to broaden their horizons. And, Free League is one of those where they've secured some great One Ring RP, or not the One Ring, Tales from the Loop, which was a
Which is still some of my favorite artwork in any game, but that's because we grew up in the 80s. Yes.
Yes. And I've been trying to convince my daughter to watch the show because she's a Stranger Things fan, and I
Yeah.
haven't quite got her to
I
commit to
haven't
it yet.
watched it either.
I've watched some of it. It's on my list, but then I got sidetracked by some other shows that came up, like Andor and some of these others. So I need to get back to it.
Yeah.
But without going too far off, this is even for TV. I mean, we could have a whole episode talking about the streaming thing. I don't want to get too far off topic, but just the fact that we can pick and choose and we create this list, we don't have to worry about the Saturday night movie, and hopefully the VCR records it. We're in like a
Back
golden
in
age
my
of,
day. We're still in a
pretty
gold.
much.
We're in a golden age of streaming. It's well, what am I saying? We're in the first stage of streaming, but it's starting to shake down. And I do think we're still in a golden age of RPG. I recognize that some of the major houses might be floundering a bit, but the landscape as a whole seems to be stronger than ever before. Death in Space is and Free League is a case in point.
So, it was exciting to meet with Carl, and I appreciate him taking the time to do
Yeah.
it at hit because there's a time difference talking
Big
with
time
Europe.
difference, but we
Yeah, it
figured it
was
out.
easy for us, but it's always tough for
Yep.
folks to do this after work and everything, but very appreciative of him to do it.
Noblaeus is a Stockholm-based tabletop RPG designer, one of two behind the gritty sci-fi RPG Death in Space, and part of the Creative Coven Stockholm Cartel. With a PhD in astroparticle physics focusing on dark matter, he has a special interest in the cosmos and its inner workings. Today, he spends his days working in data science. On evenings and weekends, he takes the chances he can to escape to cold, dark space and strange universes beyond our own. He is mostly an omnivore when it comes to RPGs, exploring all kinds of experiences the hobby can offer, but shies away from high page counts and large rule sets.
Carl, thanks for joining us today. Became a big fan of Death in Space just because it's such a different type of spin on sci-fi RPG drama and gaming. So thanks again for joining us. We're talking with you. You're overseas from us, so always nice to talk to folks that are RPG developers that are not necessarily in the US as much as we love talking to US folks. How did you get kind of started in the RPG arena, as kind of the precursor to developing Death in Space?
All right. So, I mean, as many people, I've played RPGs for, I don't know, it's something like 20 years now, a bit more, 23 years or something. And for many years, I didn't really explore much. I played the big games that we had in Sweden at the time. I was kind of the constant GM, so I always developed a lot of my own material that we used in our games and so on. But it didn't really do much more than just play with my old home group. Then I guess about 10, 12 years ago, something like that, I started being interested in finding one other types of RPGs because I felt like I was kind of interested and wanted to know what kind of games are there out there because I started realizing that, the games I had played were kind of traditional and really didn't encompass the whole spectrum of possible games that that are out there. So I started, I guess, started by becoming more active on a forum in Sweden, just role-playing games .nu. So just a general role-playing games forum where a lot of very, very dedicated and interesting people hang out, and a lot of creators as well. So it's a place where you quickly get into discussions about design and also with the creators themselves, which really made me realize how much there is out there that I have missed. Started reading a lot of those games. At that time, I was kind of reading up on the Forge games, the kind of story games that came out 2000 to 2010-ish, and maybe a bit after. And also, I started noticing the OSR, which was kind of getting big at that time. It was pretty big when I found it, to be honest, but it grew a lot since. And this was a type of game that I'd never played. I'd never played Dungeons and Dragons at that point. So you have to understand that this is not like the main game in Sweden. It is now, though, with 5e. But before 5e, it's another game. It's called... it's actually the earlier versions of Dragonbane, which has recently come out. That's the kind of new edition of the original Swedish main role-playing game that everyone has played, which came out originally in 82 and is kind of a translation of an obscure little version of RuneQuest, kind of. Okay. So it's a basic role-playing and, yeah, has, of course, evolved a lot since the 80s. But anyway, that was what I played for many years. And then I realized, okay, there's a lot more out there. And OSR, I really like that it's very focused on the exploration. I really like that it's so easy to get into creating and designing things. It's a kind of a very DIY space where, yeah, where this is really encouraged. And this encouraged me as well. And I started kind of making small dungeons and scenarios and putting things together, GMing at Swedish cons with some friends who I had found via this forum. So yeah, and I guess that's kind of just it kind of just went on from there. Yeah, and maybe 5 years ago I started talking to or met this guy who I made Death in Space with, Christian, and yeah, I guess 3-4 years ago we started talking more about this game, which he actually had started making before. Okay. And then I kind of joined later.
It's really unique. And I mean, we saw, and again, we missed, like we were really late to the party. So the Kickstarter was obviously way over, but it was a wildly successful Kickstarter.
Yeah, we were very shocked at the time. We had some ideas that we would do okay because, you know, we have our friends who are behind Mørkborg.
Yep.
And they are, of course, very successful with their game. So we kind of knew that we would probably get a lot of people from their community. But yeah, we were still, yeah, I remember the first few days there, it was intense, very intense. And you're like, we have to put out an update. No, we can wait 3 minutes.
Yeah, it has, and it's getting even to this day, like out in Reddit and all that, it's got a lot of, it's still continuing to get this positive feedback, especially as people, especially over here in the U.S., have found it and picked up on it.
It's everywhere, yeah.
From your perspective, being it's a sci-fi genre game, but that with a very different spin than like a Star Wars or things like that, what was kind of the reasoning behind the story behind the game and why you went that direction?
I guess the first ideas came from Christian, to be fair. So I came in a bit later, but I guess we have both shaped it together. It's kind of a compromise between who we are and what we both like. So he started out with this approach of a gritty game that is kind of bleak and space is vast and kind of wants to kill you. And it's at the end of civilization. There's a kind of a hopelessness spreading. So he had that in place. And then I came from a more scientific background. So I did a PhD in physics and studied dark matter. So I kind of had all the space stuff in my head.
I was going to ask why the 10 years of physics in the notes inside.
Yeah, that's all me.
I had no idea, Carl. That's outstanding. We need to have a whole other conversation now.
Yeah, exactly. So I had all of these space things from our universe in my head. And I wanted to get that in there without kind of, I didn't want it to become complicated. I just wanted the flavor of, you know, our universe is very, very big, and kind of get the feeling that behind the things we have in the book, it kind of makes sense, even though we don't spell out all the details. I wanted to know in my head that there's some rationale behind this, and it kind of makes sense. So that's one thing I brought to the table, I guess. And then we're both into this kind of 80s style science fiction movies with bulky, dirty technology and not the, you know, the sleek, smooth surfaces, spaceships, but more, well, Star Wars, to be fair, has a pretty good aesthetic. It's a bit more of a, I guess the feeling is in there is it's a bit more weird stuff, I guess. I don't know how to explain it, but there are lots of different races, and you zoom between places in galaxies in half a second. And yeah, we wanted a bit more of a hard sci-fi approach, but still some of that weirdness, but maybe a bit more really weird, like weird horror, weird fantasy, the kind of weird in the sense that you don't understand what's going on, and we don't explain everything. Sometimes we get questions from people asking, well, what does this mean? And no, we're not going to answer.
That's, you don't want to give it away. Do you find that, you know, just in talking with folks who are interested in the game, gaming over in Sweden, for example, versus gaming in the US, do you get questions or comments from folks in the US that are maybe a little different than folks in Europe, for example? Maybe not. I'm a little fascinated by the different continents in gaming.
I mean, there are differences between how people are, of course. In terms of questions, I mean, Sweden is very small in the RPG community. There are, relatively speaking, a lot of Swedish people who play RPGs and are into that scene for being such a small country. Yeah. But of course, in absolute numbers, it's nowhere close to the US. So that's, I mean, most of the people who would talk to us at cons, they probably already know a little bit who we are and what we do. Right. And in the US, we're a little bit more unknown.
So that's certainly changing.
Yeah, sure. It is. Absolutely.
I'm curious. So when you're not designing games, right, that are like slowly percolating around the globe, are you doing stuff as a physicist?
No, I left that world about 5 years ago. No, I did my PhD, and now I'm working in data science in a private company.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah, that's pretty nice. No, we could spend an hour talking about academia, I think.
I'm sure we could, yeah.
Yeah.
The hassles are less in the RPG world, I have found.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, yes.
Yeah.
Do you, because of your like you said, you had some connections to the folks that did Morkborg. Is that how you kind of connected up with Free League, Free Allegan?
Yes and no. I guess we had some contacts with them already before we, or already kind of independent of that. But it is, I mean, we have this little community or coven, as we usually call it, of RPG creators and other people called Stockholm Cartel. And this is, and two of those are the people behind Morkborg, and two other people, or one of the Morkborg guys and another person is behind Cyborg, which is the cyberpunk hack or cyberpunk game based on Morkborg. Yeah, we have do a lot of things together, and we go to cons together, and we spend a lot of time and discuss a lot of things together. So yes, in that sense, we of course have talked to them about what their deals with Free League and so on, and we have a similar setup where Free League publishes the game and handles distribution and helps out with finding a printer and so on. And that's a similar deal for both of us.
And it looks like there's a partner too with, I don't know if it's through Free League or whatever, but I know Modiphius also has carried it, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but we're not really involved in that. That's only on the between Free League and them. I think they're helping out with distribution in the UK.
Okay.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay.
It's our, aside from Death in Space, these days, is there a game, are there games, are there worlds you've just really enjoyed playing in? Or do you even get time to play much these days?
Yeah, a little bit. Right now, we're actually playing through this old classic Judges Guild module, Dark Tower, with some people from the cartel, that's a lot of fun. Otherwise, I did GM a couple of years ago a campaign in the Yun Suin campaign world, which is one of those OSR modules where you kind of create your own version of a Southeast Asian setting, which I really enjoyed a lot. That was fun. And yeah, what else? I mean, I like to play a little bit of everything, to be honest. I like to try out different games where you feel that this game has like a there's a concept or to it, or there's it has some kind of design goals that it wants you to experience. Or just really good scenarios or modules for existing games can also be fun.
Do you prefer, when you're gaming, do you have any, does it matter whether it's sci-fi, sci-fantasy, high fantasy, anything like that? You're just more than willing to give everything a shot and
I wouldn't be able to say sci-fi in general. It's more like the particular spin, regardless of where it belongs.
Interesting.
Overall, like, it could be fantasy, it could be sci-fi, it could be science fantasy, it could be our own dear world.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends, I think, on the particular take.
But for someone like really, really new to Death in Space, like let's say they've heard of it, but they haven't opened it up, they haven't gone there, they're listening to this chat right now or when it drops, and they think, okay, I want to try that. Like, what could they do to get in that headspace of like really enjoying Death in Space, really understanding where you guys are coming from?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, we have a list of inspiration on mm-hmm. the first page.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing, to take a look at some of those movies, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
There's one relatively new movie called Prospect, which nails the tone really well. I think it's a little bit weird. It's really gritty.
Yeah.
they're looking for. It's about ordinary people just looking for some type of gems on a planet somewhere, and things go bad. It fits the tone. And then we have other old classic movies like Outland with Sean Connery from the 80s. Parts of the Alien movies, obviously. We have lots of movies that we have been inspired by. Apart from that, I guess I also enjoy when people, I mean, it's important to me that you can make your own version of the game that fits what you like. So that's also important that you kind of go through the book and what is going through your mind. I mean, what do you see when what kind of visuals do you get in your mind when you read the tables, for example, create a character, maybe, that kind of thing.
Well, speaking of the visuals, I really appreciated that you listed Titan AE. No one
That's
talks
maybe
about that ever these days. I think that's great.
that's actually Christian, I would say, not me. But
Still,
yeah, he's
but it's
talking
there.
about it every now and
Do you have anything now that it's been out for a bit, that's kind of in your head or that you're working on now that you're willing to talk about? We're not asking for spoilers, but are you developing anything else? Are you taking a break? What's on your desk?
No, we are. It's a bit slow going, but we are making a new book at the moment. We're not done. Obviously, we're still writing it. But it's going to be a scenario book called, or kind of a campaign book called Dead Flag Contracts, which is going to be a collection of several different adventure scenarios that you can tie together with a common meta plot or kind of campaign framework, and also some extra supplementary material like new origins, as we call it, new maybe some new items, yeah, some extra material relevant, that you can use in your own campaigns, and yeah, that's yeah, we're getting there. Still have some work to do, but we have like a mock-up of the cover that we
Oh,
actually
cool.
presented last year at Gen Con, maybe a bit too
Oh,
early,
cool.
but it's yeah. So
Often do you
that,
get
yeah.
over to like Gen Con or any of the other cons, whether they're other countries in Europe or whether it's the US or elsewhere?
US, I've been there at Gen Con now the last 2 years, so twice. And then in Sweden, we always go to a few of the cons here whenever we can, basically. And then there's maybe one in the UK that we go to every year. And yeah, I guess maybe one or two more somewhere in Europe. In the US, I think also the other my friends in the cartel, some of them go to PAX East, I know, or at least did last year. And yeah, I think for me, like one trip to the US is maybe enough per year, maybe twice, but yeah, but it's a big trip. But it's also a lot of fun. That's the main reason why I would go there. Meeting a lot of people and just seeing the event. It's so much bigger than what we have in Sweden. Here it's a couple of thousand at most, and there, you know, it's
Crazy.
more than 10 times.
We Jason and I we really just started gaming
Oh, okay.
probably about 4 or 5. Well, we gamed when we were younger, then we took a couple decade break, and then we're back gaming again. And
Much
it's
better
just,
now.
yeah, it's just there's so much with the advent of the internet and all these communication tools and independent publishers. We're just finding, and again, No disrespect to the big guns out there, these games that are cropping up out of nowhere that are just they're phenomenal games, and Death in Space is one of those examples. It's just now it I have to imagine, and again, I'm not a publisher, maybe I'm completely wrong. You were playing around the same time we were playing. It seems easier to get the game out and get people interested in it. Not that it's easy, but a lot easier than it was even 10, 15 years ago, maybe.
Well, yeah, I mean, the industry has changed dramatically, I think, the last 10 years, or maybe 15, 20 years. One thing is that I think a lot of people don't think about is that it's really easy now to do your own layout, for example. There are all these programs that, I mean, InDesign is pretty expensive, but you also have options like Affinity Publisher and other options that are even free. And it's kind of easy to produce something that is possible to print. That's one thing, which didn't exist, you know, before. Maybe I can't say I'm not an expert, but it has at least grown a lot. The other thing is, of course, Kickstarters, that you can do kind of raise funds before you actually have to take the risk. Or I guess what you do is you spread the risk on people willing to help you out. That's, I think, a huge change. And also together with the layout software is also the fact that we have all these print-on-demand services where you can take your own layouted game and easily sell it without basically any risk. So the kind of the threshold to producing something has been severely reduced in the last 15, 20 years. I think that's a big explanation why we have seen such a resurgence of RPGs.
Are
This is
you
really, it's like a renaissance right now,
It really
the
is.
whole, or the last 5, 10 years especially.
Has that kept pace? I mean, I've been fortunate. I've been able to travel abroad a bit these past several years, and I always look, but as a traveler, it's really hard to find anything without knowing. Has that kept pace across Europe? I mean, what's your well, yeah.
That's my impression, definitely.
Nice.
I think Europe here is kind of following what is going
Excellent.
on in the US as well. In Sweden, I mean, I know in Stockholm we have kind of the local friendly game store in the center of Stockholm. And about, it wasn't quite 10 years ago, but maybe 15 years ago, somewhere around there, RPGs were just kind of getting smaller and smaller shelf space. At some point, I heard a rumor, oh, they're going to stop selling RPGs altogether. It's not, they're not making any money. There aren't any games to sell. But then something happened about just after that, where instead they actually got more and more shelf space. And now they kind of took the main space from the board games, which is, to me, like was unthinkable at the So
Are you going
it's
to kickstart? Are you going to kickstart the new campaign guide that you're doing?
not decided yet. We'll see.
Fair. It's
Are you
exciting.
doing like with Death in Space and with this? Are you and Christian, are you doing the InDesign kind of design type of work, or do you?
Yeah, he's doing all the layout.
Wow. Okay.
And a lot of the graphics as well.
Wow.
We have some illustrators also, but he's doing really the majority of the visuals, I would say, or at kind of the layout and design. We
It's
know we've kept you, and we know you're a couple hours ahead of us.
many hours ahead.
Many hours
Really
ahead of
appreciate
us.
it. Yeah.
No, that's fine. That's
If
fine.
you don't mind, if it would be okay with you, once the new campaign book comes out, we'd love to have you back on
Sure.
to talk about it and updates on what's been going on with that and with Death in Space and everything else. And you piqued my interest, and you really piqued Jason's interest when you were talking about academia and all that. So maybe at some point,
Well,
if you're
look,
ever
and
interested, we'd love to have you on and talk about that as well. And
it just
honestly, data science is a thing I love.
An RPG written by, designed, conceptualized by a fellow scientist and someone who knows, I mean, like, who wanted to keep it as real as they could keep it and still have fun. Like, that's really special. That's really cool.
No, that's my little, no, I really like to have those small equations here and there. And yeah, just knowing that this is something real. It's not just some gibberish that I remember another game that I saw recently, a science fiction game, where there was a kind of a blackboard on an illustration.
Oh, no.
And there was some kind of equation. And I see, like, that doesn't make sense.
Oh.
They've taken some equation that they've seen somewhere, and they messed up the subscripts and the superscripts, and it doesn't mean the same thing anymore.
But, oh well, if you're gonna put all of that effort into doing something beautiful, right? Like get that right. There are people to ask.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I felt as well. Also, I don't want to be that guy, you know, who...
Yeah, no, right.
But at the same time, I also kind of want to be that guy sometimes. Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, obviously you're just...
If you do it the right way, it's...
Fantastic. Yes, right. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So, hey, thank you again for the time.
Yeah, so much. Such a pleasure to meet you, Carl.
Thanks for doing it in the evening, your time. We really appreciate it. We'd love to have you back on again to talk about... new material you're working on.
Just continued success. I mean, what a wonderful game. And it's just so neat to see it spreading everywhere.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Yeah. And really, thanks for having me.
Again, thank you, Carl, for joining us. That was fantastic. Yes. I loved the part in the bio where he talked about, you know, not a fan of high page counts.
I did too.
That was so good. Hey, you know what? I forgot to mention to folks. So what we're going to start doing is we're going to head right over to Audubon Court to where we can talk about what's on our desk and talk about the who we've had on, if we've had someone on during the week. Mm-hmm. And again, grab your tea. Grab your drink.
Yep.
And
maybe a cookie or four.
Yeah. Cookie. Yeah. I don't need those. or nowadays it's like scones or some of the other, I can't remember all of them. My son eats that stuff. but yeah, I mean, always fascinated to talk to folks who are designing and creating role-playing games and environments outside of the US because there's such a cool vibe based off of where each of these individual games comes from.
Yeah. So Carl, and when he
talked,
so
and when he talked about the cartel, that was cool too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, we appreciate the perspective. We appreciate the insight. Hopefully much more to come from Free League and its creators. Brad, what has been on your desk as of late?
I can't remember if we've recorded since I got back from my pseudo sabbatical in Florida, but I missed having my library when I was down there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what was, I had a couple things waiting for me when I got back. One of them was I showed you the Classic Traveler world, in effect, the world maps published in a book.
Yep.
But the one that caught my attention that I had been waiting for was the World Builder's Handbook for Traveler from Mongoose Publishing. As usual, phenomenal artwork. It is, I am telling you, if we had found this game early on in our role playing, our relaunch of it, I can guarantee you we would have had pretty much modern age / fantasy age, Star Trek Adventures and Traveler, and it would have taken a while for us to go and branch out. It's phenomenal book. Mm-hmm. I'll talk more about it as I more get into it. How about you? What are you checking out this week?
You know, so no new books, but the fact that we've had to use books because you and I have finally rekindled our
Yes.
Star Trek Adventures endeavor. In fact, we have finally begun a new, dare I say, campaign, a sandbox setting that will give us potentially quite a bit of play. We had our first session, and I thought it went well. And then what we've been doing is on email, and I've been enjoying it.
This is cool. I'm glad you sent that. It is fun.
So you and I, this is a duet right now, although Aaron wants in.
Yeah.
And so but we knew that we'll loop him in. This is a continuation with the same PCs. But yeah, so we played for not quite an hour and a half and really, I think, set the stage. And then in the intervening handful of days, we've been emailing once every day or so about this. And so we've been continuing the adventure, especially in terms of setting and transitions and whatnot. Although the last email sent to you earlier today was an issue of, okay, you need to roll.
And I saw that, and I brought my Star Trek Kirk's tunic dice
Beautiful.
upstairs, which I had
Good.
originally just slated for Captain's Log, but I am broadening it.
I'm glad.
I
Why
want to
not?
keep a set upstairs and I want to keep a set downstairs.
Yeah,
But
great.
I will tell you, I appreciate the way you introduced it in email. You've introduced some pictures into it to kind of create an atmosphere. I'm sold on the idea of this hybrid environment where we'll get together and do some live gaming. And then when we can't do live gaming, we'll do play by email, which has really been a lot of fun. And
Good. I'm glad.
I saw your email today. I hadn't gotten to it because, we've been
You've been
doing
busy.
some, we've been busy. But I truly, truly, I say, I look forward to the email when it comes in because I'm like, okay, I'm asking, I'm like, okay, let's take a look around, let's do this. And now I'm like, okay, I wonder what I'm going to get back. It's actually interesting where I'm kind of like, it's like waiting for a new book in the mail.
It's how I feel about getting your responses. I'm like, oh, I wonder what he wants to do. Because right, every
Yes.
email from me ends with, what do you do?
Yeah.
And so like we'll keep action out of it, but we can continue to drive the narrative, and we can continue to we can use and this is how I'm going to do it. We can still do skill checks because that's simple and they're not temporally kind of laden, if you will. And so like already, like I'm just gonna stop there and we're gonna end it. I'm very curious to see what happens from your perception role because there are a couple possible branches and
I
it
was
we'll just see what
waiting.
happens.
I was waiting because you've got it set up, so I'm trying to find a needle in a haystack, in effect, and in many ways,
In a sense, and there are paths to do it. So it's not going to be frustrating, right? You'll
But it's fun. But it's fun.
And we're also using it because you're on the station that I've designed. And
Yes.
this early narrative, especially given the way you've chosen to do it, which is great, is literally walking you through this sandbox, walking you through this new environment
Yeah.
so that, and I know you've been taking some notes, at least I hope, because you're going to end up right. You'll be able to use all of that. But yeah, I agree. I like this balance so far, and hopefully, like this weekend or whenever this coming weekend as we're recording, we'll be able to play again. But in the interim, yeah, the email is
It
fun.
keeps driving it forward. And I'll tell you this as we wrap up. My notes, for better or worse, I take analog. I
Ditto.
write the notes down. I know I can do
Love
it
it.
on computer. I find it better when I write because I process it.
All right, everybody, you heard it here first. Thanks again to Carl Niblaeus for wasting some time with us about the wonderful game Death in Space. Thank you all for being with us. And we've been negligent about this for most of the nearly 3 years of this podcast, which is surreal. But we're going to start adding this at the end of each one. And when I forget, Brad will remind me. He looks really worried right now on the camera. No, it's not that cosplay thing of yours. If you like this podcast, if you like this episode, please leave a rating, might we suggest 5 stars, on your favorite podcast app. We don't like asking for that, But the reality is the single biggest thing all of you can do for us, and it's totally free, is simply leave a rating. Take that extra moment whenever you listen to an episode. I honestly listen to 8 to 10 podcasts every week, and I automatically leave my 5 stars every episode because I know it makes a difference. So we're going to start saying that. If you like what you heard, leave us a rating. If you didn't like what you heard, leave us a 5-star rating. You'll feel good about it. As always, be well, stay well. We will see you next time.